This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening around the world right here on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, and today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life, and I am not here alone, but I'm not here with Carrie Kasem, my wonderful co-host, who is still on vacation. She has taken a long vacation. Hopefully, she will be back next week. I have a guest host today, and I'm so thrilled to have my guest host. It is none other than television star Melissa Lefkowitz, criminal defense attorney extraordinaire from Chester and Lefkowitz. Melissa, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Well, thank you, Alan. And hey, everybody.
It is so great to have you here. You have been so busy. You look amazing because now you're a TV star. You were on Reasonable Doubt. And I know you have a lot of projects going, as well as defending people accused of crimes.
That I do, Alan. That I do. We've been very, very busy, and we are doing such great, incredible things. But I think we're talking here about all the incredible things that are going on in the world.
There are some really crazy things going on, and this show is really important. We are thrilled to have with us today Gloria Allred, who has been in the news all week, and I've watched her on CNN. And she really has been speaking out on a very important topic. She's been speaking out for years, of course, and we all know the victims' right attorney extraordinaire. She's probably the most well-known women's rights attorney, individual rights, because women's rights are individual rights, and it's really important that everyone has an advocate in this regard, and the Harvey Weinstein story has just littered the news media and the internet and everywhere else at the water cooler. We're happy to have Gloria with us. Later in the show, we have our own Genevieve Wong, who's the producer of this show. She has her own personal stories about Harvey Weinstein. And Gloria may want to talk to her because she may be representing her at some point. But there are so many people who have stories about Harvey Weinstein. Genevieve is one of our own who suffered at this monster's hands. And I do that because it really sickens me hearing all of these stories. Later in the show, we will have the professor on. That is from the Ohio State University law professor. We have Professor Peter Shane, who's going to tell us about the constitutional rights of kneeling for the national anthem, talking about private versus public entities, the NFL being a private one, and whether they will mandate all of their players to stand for the national anthem. Probably won't happen. They're having a meeting next week, but Professor Peter Shane from The Ohio State University, the Buckeyes, he will give us the scoop on that later in the show. But without further ado, Melissa, I want to welcome to the show and welcome back to the show because we have Gloria on a lot and people just love to hear her perspective. Gloria, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Well, thank you very much, Alan, for inviting me. I appreciate it, especially on this important day, you know, when we're talking about Harvey Weinstein. Just within the last hour or so, the news is coming across that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Board of Governors met today and discussed the allegations against Mr. Weinstein and voted, according to their statement, well in excess of the required two-thirds majority to immediately expel him from the Academy. And that's a very important statement because I think, Alan, that the era of looking the other way and indifference and willful ignorance may be coming to an end. I mean, he's been thrown out of the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences in an unprecedented display that business as usual is at an end.
Right.
So I personally applaud the action of the Academy by recognizing that artistic achievement is not sufficient. that someone who has sexually harassed women over and over again, I realize there are allegations, but still serious ones, and someone that who has done that over many decades does not deserve to be a member. And the era when powerful men could abuse and sexually harass women is over.
Gloria,
women will not take it anymore.
I got to ask you this because it's really been bothering me all week. We talk about all of these settlements that we heard took place over the years. Approximately 8 is what we're hearing about. You yourself have represented so many victims of sexual assault, sexual harassment, and you yourself have been involved in these confidential settlements. But what really bothers me is in this Harvey Weinstein case, if these settlements were not confidential, if people were not getting paid off, couldn't we have stopped, and in some of your other cases, couldn't we stop this nefarious activity from going on and putting this arrogant son of a gun in, getting him shunned earlier than 20, 30 years where all of these women have been really abused over time? Why do you participate in these confidential settlements that allow the abuser to continue abuse?
And that's a fair question. And, of course, the answer is we, you know, our focus for the last 42 years, one of our main focuses, is sexual harassment in employment. And we literally have done thousands of settlements for victims with high-profile figures and some with not high-profile figures. But you know, employers or studio executives or just supervisors, not even in the entertainment industry, or co-employees who sexually harassed women. And we, it is our duty to do what is in the best interest of our client. She, or he, in some cases, is number one. And in other words, they're in the best position to decide whether they wish to accept the settlement that is being offered to them, which may be very, very substantial. We've literally won hundreds of millions of dollars for victims of sexual harassment, and much of it has been in confidential settlements. Whether they wish to accept that, which may help them with their therapy bills, with their medical bills, with their lost wages, with their pain and suffering that you know they've endured because of the sexual harassment, and whether they want to accept that and sign a confidentiality clause or take their chances, take risks of having a public lawsuit filed and all of the risks inherent in litigation. The risks, the expenses, the fact that the lawsuit could go on for years, that they may be publicly attacked unfairly in some cases. Really, that's up to the client. And we inform people who've been sexually harassed of what the benefits and risks are of all of their legal options. Many of them will accept confidential settlements. And they have every right to do so. It's not hush money. What it is a settlement. There wouldn't be any settlement if there were no legal claims, and they have legal claims, and this is the way they decide to resolve them.
But it gives Harvey Weinstein a license to go and abuse other people.
Well, that's a question. That is the fact is that if he has engaged in these 8 reported settlements, then he has had to pay a cost for his sexual harassment. And in other words, he's paying the cost more than the victim is paying cost. But on the other hand, the point is this, you're right, people would not know who settled and why, but in some cases a victim would like to have her right to privacy.
Right.
She doesn't want maybe even her family to know or friends to know or coworkers to know. She may be concerned about victim blaming and victim shaming, which often goes on.
Gloria, we as defense attorneys understand that position, and we as lawyers understand that we do need to kind of listen to the client and really feel where the client wants to be going. But as is the case here, this seems like the tip of the indecent iceberg. Women from every industry are at this moment more empowered than ever, but there's been so much silence. If the mightiest of all moguls can fall this hard, nobody is safe. And that's the look we're seeing on men's faces everywhere. The look of fear that they are next to be exposed, that sextortionists everywhere need to beware. And while I understand your point, I think that we're also looking to some of these actresses and begging to know why. Why now? Why are you coming out now today, 20 years later, when for 20 years these women have been going in there almost at the recommendation at some of these actresses who go up at the Oscars and thank Harvey Weinstein as God?
Okay, I can answer that question. First of all, I would respectfully disagree with you that these are sextortionists. And I think it's very unfair to label them that way. And the reason I say
that... Oh, it's Weinstein that I'm calling a sextortionist.
If I may just finish. Because, as I indicated earlier in my comment, they have legit... The ones who have settled, those that would not be settlements unless there was a legitimate legal claim that they had.
Of course, Gloria, I'm not talking about the victims.
A legal claim, which they assert, they are not an extortionist. They have a right to assert their claim. Now, in answer to your question, why does it take so long? And that's a good question. And why didn't they do it earlier instead of many years later? The answer is complex, but includes some factors such as fear of that they'll never work again, the power imbalance that Mr. Weinstein is a very significant figure, as you pointed out, a major mogul in the media, in the industry. Fear that he will retaliate against them if they say or do anything that they'll never work again, that they won't be believed, that maybe lack of knowledge that he ever did that to anyone else. Rumors are not evidence, as I'm sure we'd all agree. And so there are many reasons why they didn't speak out. And, you know, some of them may not be within the statute of limitations now to assert a claim, that arbitrary time period set by law, but some may. I'm getting emails and calls from persons who allege they are victims now from all over the world.
You know, it's
interesting. I'm scheduling calls all weekend just to respond to people who allege that they are victims so that we can understand what their legal rights. In many cases, it is too late for them to assert the claim. But in some cases, depending on where it happened, it may not be too late. So I'm glad that people want to know what their rights are, and it's important that they be advised about whether they can assert them.
You know, Gloria, when you say you're getting calls from so many people, a lot of people want to know, how do you assess these cases? Because now there are so many people coming out, and you wonder whether some of them don't have evidence. Some of them are just trying to get some publicity. You know, they don't have the specific stories that Louisette Geis, your client, told this week. But you are getting so many calls. How do you, Gloria Allred, and of course you have a large, very successful firm behind you, how do you guys assess whether or not this is legitimate and whether you're going to go out and represent these people, and more than that, whether you're going to have a press conference like you did with Louisette Geis and talk about what Harvey Weinstein did?
The answer is individually. Each case has to be evaluated individually. And also, the needs of the client have to be assess. In other words, we don't tell people, oh, you have to go out and say something publicly. That's not what we do. It's not who we are. We're there to support the client, what she wants to do, and then advise her the benefits and risks of what she thinks that she wants to do. And so I don't think that people have to be their own lawyers and try to figure out, well, am I too late or am I on in time to assert my rights? This is for a lawyer to review the facts, review the evidence that the individual has. And by the way, the testimony of the alleged victim is important. It can be evidence as well. And so that's what we look at. And many people do not want to speak out publicly, and that's fine. I'm going to say in this case most that I've talked with so far. But some may have a legal claim they can assert. Now, another thing that I've done, although we've not yet filed a lawsuit, we may or may not start doing that. It depends on the facts and the evidence and the law. But I've also sent a letter, and it was acknowledged to have been received yesterday, to the board of directors of the Weinstein Company, and I have asked them to meet with me as soon as possible. I want to meet with the board of directors because they have issued a statement, Alan, saying that they want to pursue justice for the victims as well. So since I represent numerous victims at this point, or persons who allege they are victims, I want to meet with them as soon as possible. So we think we have creative ideas for them that we perhaps could work together on in order to pursue that justice for the victims.
Gloria.
They shouldn't be forgotten. They must be remembered.
Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of this is just damage control because it has been written that the company itself, the Weinstein Company, had the contract for Harvey that actually said that he could get sued over and over for sexual harassment, and as long as he shelled out the money, that was good enough for the company. So I admire what you're trying to do now, but doesn't the company have something to say about this and how they turned their back and in fact encouraged it? As long as the creative mogul Harvey Weinstein was, you know, heading up their company, they were going to turn away, just like perhaps in football Joe Paterno may have done for Penn State in that situation, and in other situations Ken Starr over at Baylor. It begs the question of how legitimate they are coming to you to the table, and whether they have some responsibility. And Patty Glaser may have something to say about, who was a guest on the show not too long ago, who may even be representing Harvey Weinstein in a wrongful termination case against the company, the Weinstein Company.
Okay, well, you know, the point is, I'm not here to, you know, to comment upon whether or not the Weinstein Company has exposure to liability. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I just don't have a comment on that today. What I am trying to do is be very constructive and move forward to meet to see how we can have a positive outcome for the alleged victims whom we represent. And that appears to be a goal of the Weinstein Company, that they want to also pursue justice for them.
Gloria, I just want to say that...
all the consultations are confidential.
Right.
As they would be with you, Alan.
Absolutely.
And that's important. People need to know that. It's not going to be public knowledge, whatever is said. But I do think that the Weinstein Company does have an important role in helping the persons who allege that they are victims. So we're looking forward to their response, which I do hope to have as soon as possible.
Great. Well, Gloria, regardless of whether criminal charges are brought, which I know that we're going to discuss here, yeah, I hope that these women band together with you and sue the pants off of this company that is laden with men who knew and were complicit in keeping this disgusting Holly Weird not-so-secret.
Well, I do think I would agree with you that it's important that they know what their legal rights and options are. It's good that law enforcement in London and in New York are looking into it. I will suggest that perhaps there are going to be other law enforcement agencies that also need to look into it, because as I say, I'm receiving a lot of information that, you know,
may
be relevant to other law enforcement agencies, but civil lawsuits may also be possible for some of the alleged victims. So we're looking to both Harvey Weinstein and the board, you know, to
right,
have some creative solutions.
We have to take a break in a minute, but before we do, I just want to tease the Louisette Geis situation.
Yes.
Because it's really important, and she came out and said some
yes,
really important things with you by her side. Just briefly, in about 30 seconds, can you give us a synopsis of what happened with Ms. Geis?
Ms. Geis alleges that she first met Mr. Weinstein, that is Harvey Weinstein, at the Cannes Film Festival, just to say essentially very hello, brief chat. I think it was at a party. But then sometime later, she saw him at the Sundance Film Festival, and she reported that he had asked her to pitch, that he was interested in having her pitch her screenplay. And of course she was excited to be able to do that. She said at the press conference that they went to a restaurant in the hotel where they were both staying, started the pitch. He was interested, but then the restaurant closed early, And so then she alleged that he invited her up to his office, with many offices in the hotel for the Sundance Film Festival, in his suite, but it was an office, that she made him promise, or she asked him to, in front of a security camera, to hold up his hand and promise that he wouldn't touch her if she went up there, because there had been rumors about him, although she didn't have any real evidence. And he promised, although he laughed. She went up there, and she alleges that he excused himself to go to the bathroom, that when he came out, that he had on his bathrobe, that, in her words, and I'm quoting, that he was butt naked, end quote. And that she alleges that after that, he got in the jacuzzi, and then he wanted her to watch him masturbate, and then she tried to get out of the room, and she ultimately got out of the room.
Wow.
This is really, if proven, this is more than sexual harassment. You know, this is sexual battery. This is lewd conduct. This is disgusting. So
yeah.
We'll have to see what happens next. But she was very brave to come forward and speak out. She wants to inspire others and empower others to go forward and assert their rights.
You know, it's interesting because there's talk of Harvey going into a facility for sexual addiction and all that stuff. But when you tell this story and the other stories that we're hearing, I really don't think it's about sexual addiction. I think, like you say, lewd comment, it's power, it's corruption, it's abusiveness, it's coercion, it's just a cockiness that, you know, it's just unparalleled. And I actually, maybe it isn't. Maybe there's other CEOs and all around, you know, you've represented so many people, and it always has to do with power and people thinking that they are just so above everyone that they can take control of women. And it really is disgusting to have that kind of frame of mind. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back with Gloria Allred after this message.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money, and they'll get it too by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance, and you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money, and they'll get it too by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance, and you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical explosions, exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Shred the truth.
We think he's planning an attack.
Sell the lies. The Epic's original series, Berlin Station, returns.
We have a problem.
Let's go, let's go.
Timely and provocative.
Europe is in chaos.
Germany arise.
The spy thriller you can't miss.
If he thinks for one second that he's being played, we're all dead.
With Ashley Judd, Richard Armitage, and Kiki Palmer.
Who says there are no friends in espionage?
Berlin Station, Sundays 9, 8 central, only on Epics. Watch free episodes now at epics.com.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey, and I am enjoying co-hosting today with Melissa Lefkowitz, who is a defense attorney, a criminal defense attorney with Chester and Lefkowitz, and she has been a co-host on the ID Discovery show Reasonable Doubt, which is a great show, and I think it's on podcast now for ID Discovery. We're talking to Gloria Allred. We're talking about the Harvey Weinstein debacle, this fiasco. You know, Gloria, a few weeks ago we had Dov Charney on the show, and he, of course, was the CEO of American Apparel, and he was accused of sexual harassment and a lot of other lewd conduct, I would say. I don't think he would agree to that. But he managed to survive. He came on the show and he said he's opened up a new company called Los Angeles Apparel. And he talked about, with his attorney Keith Fink, he talked about what he went through with this litigation. Do you think that Harvey Weinstein will ever recover from this?
Well, I mean, I'm willing to give him some assistance in recovering, in the sense that if he will do justice for the alleged victims that I represent, the numerous victims and or persons who allege they are, and also if he will do that, we have offered him a way to do that, then I think he can help to restore his battered reputation.
Gloria, I got to tell you, you're sounding like my very good friend and sometimes guest on this show, Lisa Bloom.
You mean my daughter?
I mean your daughter, and you know I'm joking. I'm kidding with you because were on the show with Lisa 2 years ago. We did a Mother's Day show, Gloria and Lisa, and you two. It was amazing to hear how you two get along. And I will tell you, in this instance, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone with me now, and I will say this to Lisa when she comes in, which I'm sure she will soon, but I'm taking your side on this, because as a person who represents injured workers, I have spent my career representing injured workers. I cannot represent the employers. How in the heck, and I will ask Lisa this, why did she even consider at the time take, and I know what you're going to say, you ask Lisa that, but you had the right answer. You're saying, hey, this is what we do. We represent victims, and Lisa represents victims. Of course, you know, Lisa's been on our show talking about Bill Cosby, Donald Trump, Bill O'Reilly, Roger Ailes, all of these people. And I don't know, Gloria, help us out here. Why did she have sympathy for Harvey?
Well, I think she was trying to help him. And, you know, help him to take responsibility. And so, I mean, I commend her for that. I love her. I respect her. She's a terrific attorney. And I think that, you know, what she was doing was misinterpreted. And in addition, I want to say that I think the focus really needs to be on Mr. Weinstein. Now, for many of the alleged victims, there is, you know, it may be too late for them to assert any legal claims because of the statute of limitations, because the time period has expired for them to assert a claim. But we have offered Mr. Weinstein an alternative, which is he could agree to waive and give up and not assert the statute of limitations, which he could do, and say, I'm going to engage in a confidential mediation, or we offer him the opportunity to agree to a private trial or arbitration, in which case, if he did that, then the persons who allege they are victims can put on their evidence before a retired judge. He can put on his defenses. The judge can decide who shall prevail. If the judge finds in favor of the person who say that they're victims, the judge can award damages according to proof at trial. If the judge finds in favor of Mr. Weinstein and say that the victims have not proved their case, then Mr. Weinstein can announce to the world, guess what? This was not true. It was vindicated, or there wasn't sufficient proof to prove that I sexually harassed any woman. So we're waiting for his response to that. We think that's fair. He may feel mistreated that he hasn't had his chance to have his day in court. He had legal court, just a court of public opinion. And many of the persons who allege they're victims feel that they haven't had their day in court.
But Gloria,
an important step he could take.
But Gloria, my issue with Harvey, with Mr. Weinstein, is that he doesn't feel remorseful for me. I'm not feeling him in the whole remorseful role, even if he does finally get himself into rehab, where he gets to hang out in a robe with alleged sex addicts all day. What is he allegedly rehabilitating from? My question to you is, this guy's not a sex addict. He's an abuse addict and a humiliation junkie. So where is the justice with somebody like this? He's not showing remorse on any of the video. I'm not hearing any remorseful statements. I'm not even buying him in this remorseful role. It isn't just Hollywood that's allowing this vulgarity to be perpetuated. Our own president was elected after he indecently exposed himself as a misogynist. The very fact that these undertones exist empower men to act egregiously. I think that the best bet for these victims in this case is the sheer volume of victims, because that sheer volume could certainly inspire the right prosecutor to avenge this case, even with the evidentiary problems ahead.
You know, Melissa, I think, you know, I think you make some good points. Having said that, I'm really not concerned with, you know, what he says so much as what he does. I believe in deeds, not words. So the deeds are justice for victims. I can't say that enough, because I care about them. This is not just about celebrity actresses, okay? There are a lot of people who you've never heard of who allege that they have been victimized by Mr. Harvey Weinstein. These people deserve justice, and it's just as simple as that. I don't care what he says. I don't care if he goes to a sex addiction rehabilitation center or anything else. I care about what he does for the victims.
And that's an excellent point, and I think that's something that you have always focused on, and of course your daughter Lisa Bloom has as well, and she's been outspoken with revenge porn and some of these other cases, Misha Barton and Black China and all these people. So that's really the bottom line in victims' rights attorneys, when they are really taking it from the victim's perspective. And, you know, you kind of have to look at it that way. What is in store?
And that's important, if I may say, Alan. And Melissa just mentioned Ms. President Trump. And Melissa, I'm not sure if you might know, but if not, I'll share it with you. You know, we have a lawsuit pending. I have on behalf of Summer Zervos versus President Trump. And Summer Zervos was one of the women who alleged and spoke out during the campaign, alleged that after Mr. Trump denied doing what he was heard to say on the Access Hollywood tapes that he had done, you know, grab a woman by, you know, you can fill in the missing word,
right,
and kiss her because he's a star, you know, just grab her and kiss her, that, you know, that Summer spoke out and alleged that, in fact, he had done, or, you know, some acts of sexual misconduct against her. He then called her a liar, called all the other women who spoke out liars. And we then asked him to retract. He did not retract, so we filed a lawsuit against him, which we are litigating, and he's filed a motion to dismiss. We filed our opposition. This is a defamation case. His reply is due on October 31st, and we're going to have a hearing soon, maybe next month, whenever the court chooses to set it. And so this is really important. because yes, we believe that we need to fight back against men, no matter how powerful they are. If, you know, if we believe that there's reason to conclude that they have hurt.
And importantly, you always say the word alleged conduct. It's important. It hasn't been proven. If you go to GloriaAllred.com, there's a lot on the Summer Zervos versus Donald Trump case, and a lot of people are interested in that. So it's GloriaAllred.com. Check it out for the Summer Zervos case. Last thing I want to ask you, and I think I know the answer, Gloria, but I'm going to ask you anyway. It's we only have a minute left with you. You said in CNN this week that Harvey Weinstein isn't the only, quote, high-profile, end quote, person who's being accused of this conduct. Is there someone you want to announce right now that you that you will be representing in a new case that will take over the media waves?
No. I have been contacted about other high-profile men in Hollywood who allegedly have also sexually harassed. And I'm talking about severe or pervasive conduct in the workplace. You know, not just a kiss on the cheek once, but severe conduct or pervasive sexual assault, other things. But I'm not going to, you know, violate any attorney-client privilege confidential communication by, you know, saying who they are accusing.
Okay.
If, as, and when there's a lawsuit, that's public and people will know.
That's what a lawyer should say. Gloria, I want to thank you again, as usual, for being on Gervie's Law. We appreciate all your comments on this very important subject.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Melissa. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Gloria, have a good day, and we'll talk to you another time. You know, we have a couple minutes before we go to our next guest, who is Professor Peter Shane. I have Genevieve Wong here, and Genevieve does an amazing job of producing this show. She has contacts all over the country and all over the world. She books some really great guests. And when we were talking about Harvey Weinstein, Genevieve said, well, I have some personal stories about Harvey, because, Genevieve, you've been in this business a long time, even though you look like you're 20 years old. But but I'll tell you, Genevieve, you know, you have firsthand experiences with Harvey. What kind of guy is he?
Well, you know, I actually have two stories to tell about Harvey Weinstein. Before I became a TV producer, I was actually an assistant at a major talent agency. And I remember I was working for a literary agent at the time, and everybody had told me, by the way, if you ever come across Harvey Weinstein, just try to be calm. The guy has an anger management problem. That's what I was always told.
Right.
Now, Harvey and I never crossed paths, but then many years later in 2009, I was at the Sundance Film Festival, and I was producing a Sundance Film Festival special where I had to interview a lot of movie stars, some of which were in Harvey's movies.
Yeah.
And I finally came across Harvey in an Italian restaurant. I was a news producer.
From the looks of him, he likes his pasta.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So I went into this restaurant on my lunch break with my cameraman, and we sat down at a table next to Harvey Weinstein. And the second Harvey saw me, he got up out of his chair, stood face to face with me as I was standing, towering over me, and he said to me, "You better put that camera away and not aim it in my direction, or else," and then a lot of expletives. And I thought it was so shocking to me that this guy who didn't even know me would assume, one, that my camera was on, but that, two, that I would take this. Who did he think he was? But the entire restaurant just fell into hush. I didn't know what to do. I was completely frozen.
Wow.
And so my cameraman looked at him and said, "Sir, the camera's off," and showed him.
Right.
And then Harvey sat down, thank God. And then it was business as usual. And later, you know, a waitress came up to me and she said, "Who was that guy?" And I said, "Oh, that's Harvey Weinstein." And she was like, "Who is he?" And I'm like, it's better that you don't know.
Right.
Really. But, you know, some of the more common stories I would hear about Harvey, it kind of went something like this with him and women. You know, I have a very good friend who is a very well-known casting director. He casts a lot of big movies, a lot of big TV shows that you've heard of. And he did cast a Harvey Weinstein-produced movie several years ago. And he was given the following instructions. I need you to audition these three women. I need you to have a meeting with them. And then I need you to cast them in this movie. Now, you're going to shoot the scenes with them. When it comes to editing, you're allowed to cut two of them. But there's one that you cannot cut. Well, why? Well, it's because Harvey has a very close relationship with this woman, he was told. And by the way, these were all friends of Harvey Weinstein, if you will. This is something my friend alleged. But this just goes to, and by the way, this is a woman who later has gone on record saying that she's had a relationship with Harvey. So whether or not she really got the role because of her talent or whether it's her relationship, I mean, I don't know who these other women are. This is what was told to me. I didn't check it out. But this just goes to show how far, you know, having a relationship with a high-powered Hollywood executive can, you know, do for you.
Well, it sounds like it sometimes brings these people to their knees. And that's something that we're going to have to talk about after the break, because we're going to talk about the NFL and the anthem and whether or not the NFL will mandate through the commissioner Roger Goodell and the owners that everyone stand during the national anthem. Genevieve, thanks for bringing those stories to us, because
no problem.
I know you have firsthand knowledge. The next big mogul who's in trouble, I'm sure you'll have stories about him or her as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I'll come on the show, sure.
Thanks. So you're listening to Gervie's Law. Melissa Lefkowitz is here with me. And after the break, it's Professor Peter Shane from The Ohio State University.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. After producer Harvey Weinstein was accused of sexual assault and harassment, the Film Academy Board held an emergency meeting and decided to revoke his membership. Media correspondent Brian Stelter.
This is significant because it's Hollywood as a whole making a statement, sending a message that Weinstein is persona non grata, not welcome back, not welcome to be a part of the film community.
And Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris are set to visit the fire zones as wildfires continue to burn in the state. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar says...
We have the red flag warnings in effect, not just for Northern California, but also Southern California. Some of those wind gusts upwards of 60 miles per hour. The good news is those winds are expected to die back down as we go through the evening hours.
And for tonight, clear skies with lows around 60. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
It's that time of year again. You know, when those cute little ghosts and goblins come to visit. Hey, it's Leanne Tweeden. I love Halloween, but a broken water heater is not the kind of scare I'm looking for. If your pipes or water heater become possessed, call my friends at SoCal Plumbers 911. They work around your schedule. SoCal Plumbers 911 are available 24/7. Enjoy $50 off with their trick-or-treat special. So don't let your pipes cast a spell on you. Dial 877-PLUMBER or go to SoCalPlumbers911.
I'm Jeff Gannett, CEO of Macy's, and I'd like to introduce the new and improved Macy's Star Rewards, a simpler rewards program starring you. Silver status means 25% off any day you choose with Star Passes. Gold status means getting free shipping with no minimum plus the Silver status benefit. Platinum status means 5% back in rewards every day with your Macy's card. No merchandise exclusions, plus gold and silver status benefits.
Macy's Star Rewards, exclusive to Macy's cardholders. Learn more at Macy's.com/StarRewards.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes. You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And a lot of you listening on KBC.com around the world, maybe in Ohio, we are very happy now to welcome to Gervie's Law Professor Peter Shane from The Ohio State University, who is an internationally recognized scholar in administrative law, separation of powers, and constitutional law. He's a former dean of the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, graduated from Harvard and Yale. He seems to know what he's talking about. Professor Shane, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks so much, Alex. I appreciate the endorsement.
I appreciate you calling me by my name, Alan, not Alex, but thanks
Alan,
anyway.
Sorry.
That's no problem. So let's get serious for a second, Peter, because it's really important. What's going to happen this week? Now, before yesterday, it looked like maybe, just maybe, the owners would meet in the NFL and they would mandate that all their players stand during the national anthem. Now, tell us why they can do that, notwithstanding proponents of freedom of expression in the First Amendment might not be happy.
Well, whether they can do that is a separate question from whether it's constitutional. Free speech obviously is an American value, and we often talk about violations of free speech as a violation of kind of core values of that we hold as Americans. But the Constitution of the United States and the First Amendment applies only to government institutions, not to private employers. It sounds as if the league itself is backing off from a league-wide policy of requiring standing. But there may be actually a legal limit to what the owners could require. The legal limit doesn't come from the First Amendment, though. It would come from the National Labor Relations Act, and it might come from even the terms of players' contracts. But they would be regulated as employers, not as government institutions under the First Amendment.
So what you're saying is this is more of a contracts question than a constitutional question at all.
Well, it's partly a contracts question, but there's also a statutory question. The National Labor Relations Act protects the rights of employees to, and just to quote the statute very briefly, engage in concerted activities for mutual aid or protection. And so I think the players' union is either contemplating or perhaps they've already filed a suit to enjoin any action that would penalize players for basically for expressing solidarity with one another by kneeling. They're basing that lawsuit not on the First Amendment, but on the National Labor Relations Act.
But Peter, we have to look at it this way. This is a very emotional issue. Everyone knows that. It's a very divisive issue. But when we look at employment, strictly speaking from an employment law perspective, as a private employers can mandate what their employees do or say. I am an employer because I have a law firm, and I do not allow my women attorneys to come to work in a bikini. Maybe it looks good for some people, but I just don't allow it. I don't even allow them to behave in certain ways. Freedom of religion may even come into it, because I can't have someone, if they want to pray all day in my firm, I need to take care of business. And while I respect freedom of religion and I'm not against it, I have to mandate rules that people have to adhere to if they're going to work for my firm. So regardless of what you're saying about, the labor board or contracts or the First Amendment, are you taking away an employer's right to say what they need to their employees?
Well, I'm saying that the law does have a legitimate role in limiting the prerogatives of employers in a variety of respects, including anti-discrimination law, including the right of collective bargaining, including the right to be free from religious discrimination. Where the First Amendment would come in actually would not have to do with the National Football League, but now there are at least some public school districts or high schools that are threatening to discipline students who are on athletic teams and refuse to stand for the anthem. That actually is a First Amendment question. And punishing a student or removing them from a high school, public high school football team for refusing to stand for the anthem, I think is pretty clearly unconstitutional. But that wouldn't apply to the NFL.
You know, I don't know how clear that is. I think that, you know, as a defense attorney, I have immense respect for our Constitution, and I actually appreciate respectful rebellion, especially where it's for a good cause. And in my opinion, I'm terribly confused by why kneeling is offensive to begin with, especially where we kneel before kings and soldiers kneel to honor fallen comrades. I'm not sure why it's so terribly offensive to kneel. I think it's a respectful protest.
Really?
However,
really? For the national anthem?
However, I think that even respectful protest should have the appropriate backdrop. I think that to go into battle and to do so and win, we must have the right battleground. And that in this particular case where we're dealing with sports, which traditionally are all American, face it, we all go to sports to forget about our worries, forget about our problems. When I was in 9/11, I recall running to games to get out of my head. It was such a horrific tragedy, but for those couple of hours, we forgot. We were taken away to another place. Is this the right forum to kneel? And I say that maybe not. And I say that even in the school districts where these kids need to learn how to abide by rules and how to abide by the different standards that the teachers are placing, I'm not sure that we can get into constitutional ethics there either.
Melissa, I think that one of the rules that the students need to learn and internalize the value of is the First Amendment. The Supreme Court held decades ago that the Supreme Court held many decades ago that students could not be punished for refusing to salute the flag. They held decades ago that students could not be suspended from school for peacefully wearing black armbands to protest the Vietnam War. And when the Supreme Court upheld the right of students not to salute the flag, if that were that their choice, the court said that the freedom to differ is not limited to things that don't matter. This is an emotional issue, and I understand why people went to games. The Yankee game I remember best is the one I went to forget about the bar exam. So, you know, I can relate to this.
I hope they won.
They did. Reggie Jackson won with a bottom of the ninth home run.
Mr. October.
But a lot of the divisiveness here, yes, it is an emotional issue, but it's been pumped up in part by the president and vice president precisely to be divisive. It's really a distraction from other issues, and it distracts from even Mr. Kaepernick's philanthropic role. You know, I bet he has given more money through his foundation to veterans organizations than the president has, despite the president's insistence that he's being so generous to veterans.
So it's interesting, Peter, that you bring up that point, because, and I think you've talked about this in the media, when you talk about, and again, I'm going to harp on the private versus public, because I have absolutely no reason to disagree with you when you talk about First Amendment freedom of expression rights with students and in the public. But again, I'm coming back to this private organization, the NFL, with owners who own it. It's not the government who owns it. And didn't you say that what business does the president have in telling the NFL what to do, or, you know, calling, you know, the players sons of bitches who are kneeling? And that's really a distraction, but it's also not to the point, because I'm in favor of private companies doing what's best for their employees without having governmental influence, and that's exactly what the president tried to do.
Well, yes, in a sense that's true. He was not, however, making law. He was not, directly threatening a specific government action against the employers. I will say, you know, if the President of the United States or any government official were to threaten an adverse action against a private employer for unless they would fire or discipline their employees based on their political party affiliation, that actually would be a specific statutory violation. I think the defense of the president here from a legal standpoint is just that he was expressing an opinion, which, you know, I may disagree with quite vehemently.
Somehow I think it's ironic that you're defending the president, but I'm very proud of myself that I got you to defend the president.
Well, you know, you and Melissa both do a lot to advance the rights of individuals, so I'm just trying to follow your example.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, but I think it's a good point that you're making, and, you know, I think the proper response from a professional president, so to speak, would have been that the NFL is a private organization, and they need to mandate whatever they believe is in the best interests of their owners and their employees, and they need to do it, and it doesn't have a role in the government, notwithstanding it's an emotional issue.
Well, before the kneeling started, if I have the facts straight, Mr. Kaepernick actually sat during the anthem during a game, and no one even remarked on it.
Right.
The kneeling is actually, in a way, an attempt, if I can put it this way, to be more respectful of the flag. It kind of, you know, it's what is done at military funerals when you hand the flag to someone.
Yeah.
It's kind of flying the flag at half mast. I don't think he was disrespecting the flag, and I honestly don't think it would have been an issue about patriotism without the president.
We have 10 seconds left. What's going to happen this week? They're not going to mandate it, are they?
They say no, that they're going to try to work on something that would be responsive to the players' social justice concerns.
Right. Well, we'll wait and see.
Maybe that'll...
Wait and see. Thanks, Peter. Peter Shane, the Ohio State University. Thanks for being with us on Gurvey's Law.
Oh, great to be with you. Thanks.
And Melissa Lefkowitz, what an amazing job you did.
Thank you. We loved you here. This was so much fun.
Have a great week. This was unbelievable.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gurvey, and Wynn.